The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 10, commencing at verse 34 and through to 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus Christ. I'm reading Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
I'm going to pray as I start. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use these words to help us have more joy on this Easter. Amen. Just a thought I had this morning. I walked my dog in the park, seeing all these different people, and I thought to myself of this time 2 years ago when I was kind of the heart of lockdown, and I was living by myself in Bletchley, and I was thinking, how can I have joy this Easter? And I walked to the end of my road and kind of watched the Easter dawn, and I thought to myself, how wonderful it is that 2 years on we can be together in church, not alone, in our houses celebrating Easter. So, I want to start with a question. What are the words that you long to hear? Maybe your scan has come back clear. Maybe I love you. Maybe you've won. What are you waiting to hear? Well, when I was a teacher and I would teach the 9-year-olds about the life of Jesus, we'd get to the Easter story and I would always show them this one clip from the film The Miracle Maker. And it's this beautiful clip, and I don't know if you've seen it. Maybe it came out in like the 1990s, but it was like quite a big deal for Christians that we could go to the cinema and watch the story of Jesus. And in this, it's like clay representations, and it's all come to life. And you see Mary coming to the tomb and discovering that Jesus's body has gone. And she's standing there and she's weeping. And Jesus speaks to her. And then you see her running back with joy to the other disciples, saying, "He's alive. My Lord is alive." And that moment is what we remember here today, that Jesus is alive. And let's think about the context for these women that we meet in this passage from Luke. They followed Jesus for years. Three of these women are mentioned first in Luke 8. And these women left their lives. They left everything. In verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna. I didn't know this, but Joanna was married to the man who managed Herod's household. And she left that, and she followed Jesus. And she gave her money to the ministry of Jesus. And Mary Magdalene was also supporting them out of their own means. They followed him. They loved him. And then they watched him be arrested. They watched him be beaten. They watched him carry his cross up to the hill and die a painful death. And then they watched him be taken down, be wrapped in cloths, and put in a tomb. Can you imagine the grief that they felt? This man that they loved was dead. Because even though he had told them 3 times that this was what had to happen, that he would die and he would rise again, they hadn't understood it. They wanted to hold onto him. And if you've been a parent, you probably have some understanding of the idea of holding on to your child. That maybe some special moment of their life, you think you love it when they're a toddler and you can't quite cope when they become a teenager. And then you love them when they're a teenager and you can't quite cope with the idea that they might leave and go to university. And that you know that one day they won't be living in your house anymore. You want to hold on to the moment, the specialness of the intimacy of having them close to you. And I imagine that's how these women felt about Jesus. They loved him so much, and they couldn't believe that he had died. And as we come into this passage, we see the confusion of these women, the grief of these women. And I don't know if you have recently experienced grief, but I had to visit a family this week whose 22-year-old son has recently died. And we sat in the midst of their grief. And it's a confusing time when you don't really know what's going on and you haven't quite come to terms with what's happening, with the fact that this person that you love has died. But these women love Jesus so much that even in his death, they want to be close to him. I encouraged us some of us to read this women, this book, 40 Women, through Easter. And it finished this morning with Mary Magdalene at the tomb. And what Roz said was that even in his death, Mary Magdalene loved Jesus so much that she wanted to be near to him. But imagine your confusion if you're trying to come to terms with the fact that someone you'd loved for years was dead. And you go and you want to say your final farewell to them. And this father I saw this week, he said he needed to see his son in the coffin that final time just to truly accept that he had died. And imagine coming to this moment and there's nobody. Can you imagine how confusing that would be? What is going on? You've got the grief they're feeling, you've got the love they had for Jesus, and then the body is gone. And we have the angel's words. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I put myself into the shoes of these women, I would have just been like, what is going on? I do not understand. Where is Jesus? I came, I wanted to anoint him, and he is not here. What is going on? And the angels are reminding these women of God's mission. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. The angels remind these women of God's mission. This mission that Jesus has had since the beginning of time. This mission which has been told to people by angels throughout the Gospels. First told at the beginning of Luke, when the angel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to give birth to God's Son. Then told to the shepherds in Luke 2. Then Jesus told his followers three times, he is alive. And isn't it the most amazing news? Because when someone we love has died, all we want to hear is that they have come back to life again. In 2020, a church in California called Bethel, a young child died in their community, and they started this kind of worldwide hashtag of people praying for this girl to come back to life. Now, sadly, she didn't. And hopefully, you know, we can believe that she's in heaven with God. But in this moment, Jesus had come back to life. And this moment meant so, so, so much more than any other person coming back to life. Because this is God's Son. And this was Jesus's mission all along, that he would die and he would come back to life. So they rush back to the disciples, adrenaline pumping through their bodies, and they tell them what has happened, and they are not believed. Now, people make a lot of this moment, but I don't think this is a moment to focus on a woman's word not being believed. Because we can understand why the disciples, who these women rush to, when they have seen what Jesus has been through, that he was beaten, put on the cross, when they'd seen his body still and lifeless, it would have seemed fantastical to hear those words from these women that Jesus had come back to life. And I wonder if Peter, is still recovering from the guilt and the shame of his betrayal, and he couldn't quite believe that there could be the moment to put that right. He wanted proof, and we get that. And Peter runs. He runs to the tomb, and bending over, he himself sees these strips of linen lying by themselves. And he goes away still wondering what has happened. And that's in comparison to these women, because these women who were the first witnesses to the resurrection, they remembered Jesus' words. And I think the implication from Luke is that they manage to put it all together and understand that Jesus truly is alive. And we had that reading from Acts, didn't we, of Peter saying that he did too understand and believe. But in this moment, he is still confused. So we have this comparison between Peter, who's still in the midst of putting it all together, and the women who've heard the words of the angels and who've understood he is alive. This was always what was going to happen. And I wonder who you feel a little bit more like this morning. Are you a bit like Peter? You've heard these words. You've heard this message that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that on the third day he rose again, and that he is alive. But you're still trying to work it out. You're still not really clear what it means to you. Well, I think this is the greatest moment that ever happened in all of history. And I'd love you to come and chat to Will or I at the end of the service, to ask any questions of what this means. I'd love to encourage you to consider going on a course, maybe like Alpha, where you could learn a bit more about why Jesus died and what it meant. Because those of us who believe this, we believe that this is real and that this happened. Because there are witnesses who saw the resurrected Jesus. Jesus appeared to hundreds of people at once. And those people went on to die for the fact that Jesus had died and come back to life. And we believe that this changes everything. And if you're a little bit more like the women, you believe this and you understand it. You believe that Jesus has come back from the dead. You believe that he is alive. Well, remember the question that I asked you at the beginning. I said, what words do you long to hear? Because I believe that those words, he is alive, are the greatest words that have ever been spoken to a human in the history of the world. And it has already happened. And our lives as Christians have changed forever because of this. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can know God. We can know him as our Father. We can walk intimately with him for the rest of our lives. And we know that we can be in heaven with him for eternity. So what do those words mean for you today? What does it mean to you to know that Jesus is alive? How is that changing your life? How is that changing the way that you're motivated, the way that you're thinking about what's going on in your life, the conversations that you're having with the people around you? If this is the greatest thing that has ever happened, are you shouting it from the rooftops and sharing it with the people that you know so that they too can understand that Jesus is alive? As I read the account of Mary Magdalene with this book this morning, I had tears in my eyes thinking, how incredible to have been there. But actually, we know if we love Jesus. We know that intimacy of Jesus being alive, and we can walk with him every day for the rest of our lives. I'll pray as I end. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you that you are alive. You did not stay in that tomb, you came back to life. And we thank you that that changes our lives forever. Amen.